This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. Congress is done and dusted for another year, Barry.
Yeah.
Your thoughts? There's quite a lot of feedback, I guess, that people making comments to me at the table. We could go through them. People thought it was great. People thought that it wasn't so great. And there's a couple of things that none of the comments really affected me directly, so it didn't really bother me. In terms of the time, people were saying that they didn't have enough time during the later stages of Congress, moving from one portion of the program to another. There was one time when they were finishing teams and the singles were about to start and they couldn't start because people could still play in teams and they didn't get lunch and lunches, not too many brought lunch.
What did you say about singles?
Well, pairs, sorry. Moving into mixed pairs and open pairs. Yeah. There was some hiccups.
I think when they qualified the teams that made it to the round of 16, if they didn't make it to the next stage, it was a very short time frame. If they wanted to play in the next event, they basically traded one into another, which was a bit tricky. I heard some people not entirely happy with the venue and some people not entirely happy with the format.
Who sets the format? One of the comments is that I got was, we had to be here to start play at 9 o'clock. And at 9 o'clock, they were playing. The comment was, I'm not going to work. I'm here to play bridge. And yet we, on that particular day, we were driving home about 5:15. So I'm not too sure why they had to start so early.
I thought some days we finished about 4:30, actually, which did seem quite early. And then there was no night. My understanding is that we're not actually allowed to have night play at the venue, that the venue do not want their people working there, so there is no chance of, not that we were going to have night play, but even if we wanted to finish it, but maybe there's some reason why they've got to finish really early. But yeah, even the 9:30 starts, it seemed quite early. 10 o'clock seems quite civilised.
Well, I certainly wasn't involved in the 9 o'clock start on that particular day. Starting at 9 o'clock and having to move straight into whatever it was, senior pairs, open pairs, mixed pairs, without having stop for lunch, you know, it's a long day.
It apply to those people, but for most people, even the 9:30 start seems, the first day it was 10:30, Mariana.
Yeah.
So they must have managed to get around it that day. For people that were still arriving, obviously they did that. That was a good thing to do. But then they stepped it up to 9:30 for every other day, and then finished quite early. And you know, you could say, not too much to do between 5 o'clock and dinner time.
Yeah, true that. Don't know.
New Zealand Bridge is aware of this. I think Alan Morris even made a comment towards the end that they would be looking at the format and that sort of stuff. Hopefully they do that. And hopefully everybody goes back next year and that they can improve on things.
I did hear that some people thought that it was a rubbish start time and they weren't coming back. And I was like, well, I wouldn't do that. You know, does it mean that if they move the start time to 10 o'clock next year, you're not coming back? Or is it just something stupid that they say? I don't know. Well, we will see.
I'm trying to recall. I thought we did have a 10 o'clock start last year. I can't really remember, but
I don't know.
I didn't think 9:30 did seem a bit early, especially when you had all those. There were a few traffic issues at the Mount. They're doing all sorts of things to the road there, aren't they? And sometimes. Yeah. Get stuck at that hour of the morning. I guess there was work traffic and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, and I guess the temperature didn't affect me because I did what Bridget said and I went in layers. Some people just did not like it, saying it was freezing for most of the week. Did you find that?
I took my shorts, Mariana, and I only wore them on the first day. After that, it was into the long, and I don't really usually notice the temperature. Mind you, that wasn't entirely NZ Bridges' fault. It was a pretty shitty week weather-wise.
Absolutely. That's right. Now, did you use the special parking for us around the back on the grass?
Yeah, we did. It was a bit soggy.
Yeah, I didn't.
bit of mud to traipse through. Yeah, we did use that.
I did on the first day, yep. But on the second day, no, I was parking on the concrete, but I was parking quite a wee way back, and there was plenty of car parts. It's just a matter if you wanted to walk a couple of rows in, and I did.
Is that about the lunch, Mariana? How was that?
My partner used the brought lunch facility, and he enjoyed the lunches, but made the comment that there was not as many people actually purchasing that lunch. Not like last year, you know, they had all the lunches out with your names. He got some pretty impressive lunches.
I've got to confess, I've never bought them. I'm just a poor real estate agent, Mariana. I looked at the price of those lunches and thought, I think I'm going there. But anyway, that, I thought that was just me. Maybe it wasn't.
Did you have a pie at the complex, Barry?
No.
They were bloody hot. I kid you not. I had one because I thought, right, on the very last day I brought my lunch, and hear people say, like, have a pie. They're really hot, so you have to get them, like, a round or so before you finish so they'll be the right temperature. So that's awesome that pies were really hot. So guess how I solved that problem?
I don't know. What did you do? Did you blow on it?
No. I brought a trumpet and a pie, and I ate my trumpet first, and by the time I finished my trumpet ice cream, my pie was cool enough.
Well, I don't want to sound too grumpy, but I did buy a milkshake one day, and that had exactly the opposite problem, Mariana. It was as warm as your pie, I reckon.
Oh, really?
But hey, look, I'm sure that there'll be feedback forms sent out to everybody, say what they thought, and look, New Zealand Bridge really wants this event to fly, and they will be looking at our feedback, I'm sure, and I'm convinced they'll do their best to make it all better next year.
Yeah, because they certainly don't put it on. It's like, oh, right, how can we stuff up all these people that are coming to play? They don't do that.
Absolutely, they don't. Of course they don't. They really want us to come back. They really want us to enjoy it. So, look, they'll listen to our feedback, I'm sure.
The teens event is the premier event of the Congress. So have you got, what was the end result of that?
So the winners of the teams was just a four-person team, Mariana, a little bit of an unusual thing these days. Probably most of the strong teams have six, but this was a four-person team. So well done to James Coutts, Justin Mill, Mike Doik, and Adam Kaplan.
Cool.
They beat the Cornell team in the final. And they beat them pretty handily by something like 44 imps at the end of the day. So big win for them.
Coming up next, we're heading off to the courthouse. Director, please.
How can I help?
Judge Julie presiding.
Good morning, Judge Julie. How are you going?
Good. How about you?
Fair to middling.
Fair to middling. Everyone recovered from Congress, I hope.
Yeah, I think so.
Really? Anyway, you all know the feeling. You're going back for the score up, and you've got, you think this board 12, we've got this 1400 in. That's awesome. That is going to be great. And it's at the end of the score up. That'll be brilliant. Our teammates are going to be so happy. And you get to the end and you say, plus 1400, proudly. And then they say, oh, look, yeah, we ran out of time. We couldn't play that one. What goes on there, Julie? Well, I mean, what used to happen and what happens now?
Okay. Well, before 2017, if you didn't finish and the board was taken out of play, generally there would be a situation where either both sides were at fault, minus 3 imps each, someone partially at fault, perhaps, so it just was 0. Or not at fault at all, where one side would get plus 3 and the other side presumably might not, depending on what the situation was.
Yeah, but what about my 1400?
Yeah, well, so what they did then was the result obtained of a single result in teams play, when the director awards an adjusted score and the result is clearly favourable to one side. So team play, single result obtained. So where one side has played the board and the other side hasn't. So if the director awards an adjusted score and the result at the other table is clearly favourable to one side, your 1400 or, you know, 7 no trumps doubled, redoubled making or going light or whatever the heck it might be, the director shall award an adjusted score. So they can determine what was the likelihood of whatever contract that would have been bid and the result difference. So if it's 1400, which I think Barry muttered about, maybe both sides would make the same decision and end up with 1400. So it might not actually be significant, even though it feels like it's truly significant. I would be struggling to come up with an example where it wasn't significant. For all of that, you have to look at it on a case-by-case basis. Most of the time, what happens is we've had a couple of occasions where someone's been a slab, would the other table been the same? when they haven't played the board. So we're taking the board out of play, disadvantages one side more than another, then perhaps there might be things around what actually happens on the boards.
If it was clear, like say at the table they bid six hearts, they were off two aces, and the opponents failed to cash them and let us make six hearts.
Yeah, as I said, on a case-by-case basis, all right? You would say to the director that you felt that you had achieved a score that you wouldn't normally achieve, and therefore the taking of that board out significantly affected the result of the match. And then the directors will go away. Now, as with anything, all of these things are judgmental, and judgmental can be appealed. That's pretty straightforward. Most of the time, it doesn't happen.
Next part of the question is this sort of automatic? So say if you have a board that you didn't play, one table didn't play, should the director automatically sort of take a look at the result at the other table and see if it was normal or whatever? Or have you got to ask the question?
Well, personally, I think you should ask the question, because I think that if you rely on a director who might be running around like an absolute lunatic towards the end of a match, which is the most likely time this has happened, or all of a sudden things go wrong, like half the room isn't getting power, like it happened not so long ago, all of those things, don't rely on the director to actually have the time to even realise that there's something that they should check. I mean, ideally, we do everything absolutely superbly and we look for problems before they arise. But in practicality terms, all of a sudden people are calling you and you are really busy, or you're looking after a huge number of rooms, or just life is just, you know, turning to custard. Things get overlooked. So if you think that you've been disadvantaged by the ruling of the board not being played, you call the director and say that you're concerned that this was a bit unfair to your side. You might have won the match if that particular board had not been taken out of play. So there are things about this. If there's more than one board involved, then you don't have that recourse. It's more about just the single result, not about multiple results. And the other thing is that you are relying on a judgment about what might have happened. So it's not always as clear cut as what you, I mean, all of these things, when the director makes a ruling, what you think is clear cut isn't always as clear cut as you think.
I guess it's helpful if they've got a lot of other tables to look at to see what they did on the same board.
Well, the problem is about how the auction would proceed. What happens on a board at other tables, and this is true for pairs and teams, though this situation doesn't arise in pairs. The problem is that the people at the table might play different systems. Their bidding might be completely different. So you have to actually judge it on the table that you're dealing with at the time, not on the fact that 90% of people got this result, in all fairness. Okay.
All right.
I think you have to take into account, Mariana, is if the director's running around like a headless chook, you do have to take into account that some directors have shorter legs than others.
I only feel like you can say that because I don't direct many tournaments that you are playing in, Barry. In all fairness, I will remember. Okay.
Probably will. I'm not expecting a favourable ruling. Okay. It's quite an interesting thing because although I can't believe it was 6 years ago the ruling changed, maybe it was when Jacinda got elected they decided to bring that in.
I think that possibly we have to allow equal time for all the different political parties. So I don't think we want to even start going down that road at the moment.
That rule's been in for 6 years, and I bet there's quite a few people that sort of haven't quite...
Yeah, absolutely. Some of the time I know that I've had it when I've directed Queen's Birthday, King's Birthday, Easter, that there have been a couple of occasions where I have looked at it to see about whether there would have been a difference or not. The times I have looked at it, I have basically ruled that there is no adjustment based on that fact, that both parties at the table would have arrived generally to the same result that was at the, you know, on the board that they were playing. Right. Okay, so I haven't adjusted on that very often at all.
It would have to be something quite extraordinary, I would have thought, for you to...
You're one about making six minus two aces, some of the really bad sacrifices people can make. There's a lot of things about how would the auction go because you haven't even had that. It's not like there's been a start and things are finished. So there's a lot of guff around it. And it's
even the bad sacrifice, I mean, I guess it's still possible that might happen at the other table if they
absolutely.
Played it.
Absolutely, that's the problem, is that if one side can do it, the other side. And particularly when boards are taken out of play for slow play, because very often the teams playing, they're slow because they're playing equal level opponents where things are pressurised and it's important that they do the best that they can. So often in these situations, there's not much likelihood that there will be an adjusted score given.
Yeah.
Because of the level of the people playing and the fact that they all bid about to the same spot.
You said minus three and plus three, so is that the standard penalty, is it?
At pairs and at teams,
yep.
If you are not at fault at all, you get a 60% result that will be upgraded in pairs if you score higher. And that is plus 3 imps in teams. A 50% result where you're both partially at fault for whatever reason is 50% at pairs and it's 0 imps at teams. So just the board just doesn't matter, taken out, right? If you are completely at fault, it's 40% at pairs and minus 3 imps at teams. This is not a slow play penalty. Be really, really clear. This is about the reason the board has not been played. It has nothing to do with penalising people for slow play. The director has a thing about applying procedural and disciplinary penalties, where if they warn people about being slow, they can penalise something or other, and it's clearly written in the manual generally what they will do at high-level events because people are slow. So if I'm chasing someone around the room, and they are forever slow, I can penalise them a certain amount. Now, how much is penalised is sort of around the place. Patrick and I do not agree on penalties. I think that it doesn't matter too much what you penalise. If you penalise people, they speed up because they don't want to be penalised at all. They want a table result. Patrick is a slightly more, he penalises higher than I do for slow play, because he thinks that you need to discourage people from doing it again. So we have a bit of a difference the way we approach this, but adjusted board thing is not about the fact that you've been slow, right? There is a separate thing for a time penalty for people that are slow.
Okay.
So that's really important.
About allocating a result for a board that was never played. I mean, this happens at Club Bridge too, and I'm not trying to impugn club directors, but I wonder how many club directors there are out there that actually think about that.
It only happens in teams, for a start.
Yes.
That is the first thing, okay? And to a large degree, a lot of clubs don't play a lot of teams' events. I agree, it may not ever be on anyone's radar here, for that simple reason, and because it's in the latest law book and it's something that people are still working around and it's something to remember, which is true for most of the law books that come out. There's something that is hidden in there that you forget about.
And if the club director on the night isn't aware of the rule or doesn't think of it or doesn't whatever, then there's a pretty good chance that there'll be players that won't know either.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. There'll be a lot of players probably that don't know because they don't have a board taken out of play. For a start, right?
Well, that sounds good enough.
Next time your teammates don't play a board, you'll know what to do, or not.
Or not.
Yeah.
If you went for 1,400, just say, oh, that was bad luck, let's move on.
That used to be really good. But it incentivised people that, you know, on the thing where the board might be taken out of play, sometimes, not that they know the result, there's things about that, but certainly the fact that you can do that means that if people are taking a long time in the hope that they'll wear minus three instead of something else, then they've got a problem because there is that comeback. Again, only at teams.
And like you say, you can't really know because you don't know that board was good at the other table or bad at the other table or indifferent at the other table.
Yeah, but you might think if they're going relay, 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 you know, lots of artificial bids, lots of da-da-da, and looks like they're heading for a really good spot, that maybe that's not in your best interest. And in the past, if you slowed things down, you might have got away with it, but not since 2017. You can't get away with it. You're going to have to wear the result anyway.
That was almost going to be, I thought, there's a tip from Judge Julie. If they're doing a lot of relaying, it looked like they're getting to a bad spot, take a long time and over.
Seven or eight years ago, that might have been a good tip. Now, not worth anything at all, okay?
Okay. Sounds pretty difficult to be worrying about that sort of stuff as well. Thank you, Judge.
Okay, have a good week.
So as far as the actual Congress itself, I've always told people that New Zealand Congress is one of the best-run Congresses around, and it is as good or better than nearly all of the overseas ones I've been to. This one, if there was a few glitches, I'm sure it was just an aberration, and it'll be better next year.
I did think that the event, well, for where I was playing and all the events that I went, I was very happy with the way that things were tricking along. They did figure out reading the results on the wall. Sometimes that was a bit hard. Guess what? I've got glasses that fix that problem. When I put my glasses on, I thought, oh, I can see it now.
There were a few glitches with the website, the results. There were, I don't know how, I read quite a few times about error 504, whatever that is.
Yeah.
Where you actually can see the results. That's not something that usually happens. Usually the results service is excellent. Obviously, there was a problem there this year for some reason or other, but when you clicked on the NZ Bridge site, clicked on the results thing, error 504 seemed to come up more than you'd like.
Well, I'm pretty sure they'll get that all sorted. Okay, Congress done and dusted, 2023. I guess you're back again there next year.
Yeah, probably.
And here's a couple more minutes with Peter Holland on his tips for finessing.
Do you ever wonder whether you should finesse to the queen or the 10? Or what about, should I lead up to this king or to the jack? Which of these finesses should I actually take? So today, that's what we're going to look at, and I'll give you a few helpful tips. All right, this next one, we're just in four spades, and we wanted to look at these king-jack guesses. So do we want to lead up towards the king of spades or the jack of spades? What about in hearts? Which finesse should we actually be taking? If you ever need to finesse multiple times, you always usually want to finesse the lower one. If you look at spades, we've got two losers. We're going to lose to the ace, but it's the queen of spades we don't want to lose to. And one thing that you could see is, like, let's say that we led a low spade towards the king and this wins. We still have two spade losers. We haven't actually done anything there. So we'd have two spade losers, and if we played a spade towards the king, and if it won, we still have two losers. So it doesn't actually help us finessing towards the king. Whereas if we lead low towards the jack of spades, and that actually wins, and then we can come back to the south hand and do it again, as long as west has the queen, we can prevent that winning, and therefore actually reduce our losers from 2-1. Now, in hearts, we've got a king-jack as well, but how many times do we need to finesse? Well, we have two losers in hearts, but if we lead a heart towards the king, if east has the ace, then our king's won, and we don't need to repeat the finesse again. We only need one trick out of hearts. We're trying to get the losers from 2-1. But equally as good is leading a low heart towards the jack and playing east for the queen of hearts. So this is a suit combination where we're only going to lead it once. So this is a legitimate king-jack guess where you can guess, should I lead low to the king or low towards the jack? In spades, however, you really want to finesse the queen of spades by leading low towards the jack and just repeating that as often as possible. So what I'd actually recommend when you find suits like this in hearts where you have a king-jack guess and can lead up towards the king or lead up towards the jack, counting high card points is really, really useful. Often I would pop open the bidding and look for any clues. Now, there's no clues in this one. What I'd be hoping to do is to see, has someone passed and can't have 12 points because they didn't open the bidding? Or did someone actually bid something and give me a good clue about their point range? And I'd keep track of high card points because I know that I have a legitimate choice of leading up towards the jack or towards the king, and you want to try and get that guess right.
We'll return with more of that segment from Pete.
So Aiden Wilson, they've just currently on the website for the person that's won the most ape or the people that won the most A points during the year at the end of October. And Liz Fisher is miles ahead in the woman. She's about 75 A points ahead of Alice Young, who's second.
Right. And,
okay, so the male Baden Wilson, Blair Fisher is leading that one. So the Fishers look like completing the double again. Pretty confident. You'd think Blair is about 45 A points ahead of Michael Weir. And Russell Wilson's coming in third.
Very good.
But yeah, it looks like it might be the fishes again, the double-double.
Right. Hey, did you buy a book this year? I brought two books.
I didn't buy a book this year. I did go and have a look at it, but I got distracted, Mariana. Well, did you see those photo albums?
Yes, I did.
Because they had these photo albums out, which had lots of photos in. I guess they were mostly from previous congresses. And when I say previous congresses, they were going back a long way. They were going back 20, 30 years at least. But there's also some other photos I know weren't from the Congress, but a lot of bridge players that we know, and they all looked a lot younger than they do now, Mariana.
Yeah, I saw your baby face photo there.
Oh, God. As well as that, there were a few people there. Unfortunately, there's photos of you people that are no longer with us. It was quite interesting looking through those photos.
Nice. Now, who do they belong to?
I have no idea where they came from, but it was a good idea to put them out. It did distract me from the book stand, so it might have cost Richard Solomon a bit of money, all those people that were looking at the photographs for free.
Funny. My book I brought was Behind the Screens by Samantha Punch. It's got people in a couple of tips, so she actually interviews people, and they're all over the place. Andrew Robson, Zia, Sabine, what's her name?
Sabine Orkin.
She's there, and they... end with tips to pass on. They're pretty interesting, so I'll read some of those next week.
That'll be great.
What book did you buy, by the way?
Oh, I didn't. I looked at the photographs for free.
Bloody hell. All right. Okay, well, that's it for us this week. Hamilton Labour Week in Congress coming up. Put your teams in, people. Come and see us with our Jubilee celebrations. There's 14 teams entered so far. And the numbers on the open pairs are increasing as well. What's your next tournament, or are you busy catching up, Barry?
Well, I might not make Labour Weekend this year. I've got some cows that need my attention. But however, I did notice that on Election Day, 14th of October, that Auckland are running their Wes Dodd online. So as long as they don't insist on a 9:30 start, I might be able to sneak in and play that one.
All right then. Well, people, that's it for this week. We'll catch you next week.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international nationwide.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.